Welcome to Living Above the Drama. I'm your host, Dr. Georgiana Donadio, and today my guest is Mr. Peter DeChat. He should have a doctorate after what he's been through, I can assure you. He is a man who has literally and spiritually been through the fire of life. Peter's book, Through the Fire, The True Story of a 21st Century Job, gives an account of the overwhelming and crushing suffering he experienced on July 11, 2007, when a private Cessna plane crashed into his neighbor's house and subsequently burned down Peter's home as well. Like Job, Peter was a very successful, affluent man who was blessed with children, a loving spouse, and a comfortable life. Peter lived in a land called Uz with his large family and extensive flocks. The story goes that God shared with Satan what a good man Job was, but Satan argued that Job is only good because God had blessed him abundantly. Satan challenges God that if given permission to punish the man, Job will turn and curse God. Peter was burned over 96% of his body, requiring years of healing and recovery. His stepson was also severely burned, and Peter's four-year-old daughter, Gabriella, died in the fire. Peter remained in a medically induced coma for 5 months, and when he awoke, learned not only of his daughter's death, but that his wife had left him. Facing years of rehabilitation and surgery, Peter was able to endure the pain, the suffering, and the loss because he, like Job, had the faith, patience, and belief in God's goodness and mercy. This is a remarkable story, one that may transform your life and give you the gift of knowing God through the faith and heart of Peter DeChat. Peter, what can one say? But wow, and you've told me that the reaction is really pretty much that whenever you speak to people. Welcome to the show. Thank you for sharing your just amazing, transformative, remarkable story with us. And I don't know where to begin with you. So there's so much, and I know that you want to give your heart and give this story to our listeners. So why don't you start us a little bit before the plane crash and walk us through the fire that you've been through?
Sure. And first, I must say thank you. The story is not mine. I don't own it. God is the one who owns the story, and I'm merely a steward of it and carry it to wherever the door is open for me to carry it to. So thank you for allowing me to share this story. Before the accident, I, as you said, I was a successful businessman, and I was very physically active. I played a lot of sports, and so I was able to, I'm a short man at 5'7", but I was able to, if I could hold the ball in my hand, I could slam dunk it. So I could easily run, jump, lift weights, and all of that stuff. And we also owned a rental property. It just seemed like the American dream. It's anyone's depiction of what it would be. And when that accident happened, it literally just changed everything. So what is there anything specific that you would like me to delve
into?
Well,
you were sharing with me what actually happened on the day that the plane crashed into your neighbor's home and what happened to your home and the story of how you tried to rescue your daughter.
Yeah, since I was a businessman, if you own a business, you know this, that there is no time when you're off duty. So it was 8:30 in the morning. I was up and I had my first cup of coffee ready to be drunk. And there was a problem with an installation. So somebody who had been doing some work for me called me up to see if I can help walk him through it. So I'm still upstairs in my underwear with my cup of coffee on the desk. And as I'm on the phone with them, there was something that shook that entire house. I mean, our house was made of concrete. So for something to shake it, it had to be violent. I literally thought a nuclear bomb had gone off. But living in Central Florida, there's nothing there but Disney. And as I wrote in the book, who would want to bomb Mickey? It just didn't make any sense to me. And within seconds, there was an even louder explosion. And like the first one just shook the house. And the second one, there was the explosion. My wife and I were both upstairs in the office, so she exited first, and I went right behind her. And instead of going down the steps to get out of the house, my first reaction was to go towards my stepson's room, but he was already coming down the hallway. So I proceeded to turn and go down the steps and assured that he was coming behind me. And when I got to the front door, I stopped. I didn't go out. My wife went out the front door, and I stopped at the front door, and I thought, I have a 4-year-old daughter who's in my bed. I need to go get her. In my haste, I ran all the way back up to her room. And it turns out that she wasn't there. She was in my bed, which was downstairs. So I'd wasted those valuable seconds. So I ran back down, got to my room, and when I opened the door, it just so happened to be catty corner from where the gas tank blew up. So it was full of debris. That's where the fire was raging, and it was full of smoke. The smoke was, when you see a fuel fire, like a gasoline fire, it burns up very thick black smoke. And that's what my room was filled with. And it's extremely loud. I mean, I had no idea, because you think of what's in a fireplace, and I'm sure you've had many fires going living where you do, and it just is relaxing and charming. This was like Niagara Falls. That's the only way I could describe it. It was so loud that although I can hear my daughter's cries, I just couldn't pinpoint where they were coming from. And it wasn't, I wrote it in my book, as you are a parent, you know the cries of your children. You can tell when they're just hungry or when they're cranky or when they're sleepy or when they've hurt themselves. And this cry was different than any of those. It was just a very monotone, almost hopeless cry. And I was crying, "Gabby, Gabby, Daddy's here to save you. Gabby, where are you?" But she wouldn't respond. And so, because of the noise of the fire, I couldn't pinpoint where she was at. I got to the bed, and it was covered with debris, drywall and 2x4s, you can imagine. And because I was physically strong, I could lift all that debris with one hand and reach across the bed with the other. But she wasn't on the bed. She wasn't where she was supposed to be. And I turned to see how close the fire was, and it was literally only about 12 feet away from me. And I can't say I know what hell looks like, but this has got to be somewhat close. Airplane fuel burns at 1400 degrees. It's intense. And I'd never seen any fire that intense. So I returned back to try and continue my search, and I ended up blacking out there on the bed from the smoke inhalation. The next thing I remember was a voice saying, "Get out now." And honestly, it had to be an angel in my mind. There could be nothing else that would have been in that room with me. I remember stumbling out into the front yard. I saw Daniel, my stepson, there, and he looked bad, but all I could say to him is what any parent would say is, "It's going to be okay." How it'd be okay, I have no idea, but that was my reaction. And then I collapsed in the front yard, and I just cried out, "My daughter's in the first floor master bedroom. Somebody please go save her." But at that point, I knew that if, as much as I loved her, if I couldn't get to her, who was going to? Nobody could. I remember the next moment being across the street. So obviously I was fading in and out of consciousness. I remember my now ex-wife looking down at me and saying, "You did good, Peter." And then I remember the EMT swabbing my nose and it being, what they got out was charcoal black. I remember the entire ride to the hospital, which was only 5 minutes from my house. And then I blacked out. That was my last memory until I woke from the coma.
Right, and you were put in a medically induced coma because you were in such shock, such severe trauma. such severe burn through your, you know, your whole body, you woke up and you were blind and obviously in great agony. And it was just the beginning of your story, because
that's exactly right. That there was no pain until I woke up from the coma.
Right. And that was just the beginning. I just want to let listeners know, if you want to read the account of this horrific crash, if you go to Google and you simply put in Peter's name, which is Peter D-E-C-H-A-T, plane accident, you will see lots of documentation about the accident, about Peter, what happened to his family, what happened to his stepson and his daughter. And it's something that when we start to unfold the story and hear all that he went through, personally, you really have to ask yourself the question, how does a human being deal with that? We've all heard just amazingly horrific stories ranging from World War II all the way up to many different kinds of trauma. This one is particularly significant, Peter, because it didn't happen just on one front. You had it all. You had everything. You had the Job experience. And it went from being so severely traumatized, injured, and burned to remembering the cry of your daughter who you could not save. And I can't imagine any worse hell on earth than a parent experiencing that. And on top of that, after you come out of the coma, you find out that your wife left you, and you now know that this is very common in these kinds of situations where, I think you said 90% of the time this kind of abandonment happens. So here you're a man,
95.
You are a man who has lost everything. And are now tasked with facing the unimaginable, the recovery of being burned over your entire body, facing unknown surgeries and rehabilitation and recovery. So when we talked in the pre-interview, I have to tell you, that was quite a stunning thing to hear you say, that for you, you never for a moment asked yourself, why me? You never asked yourself, why did this happen to me and not other people? Why did God do this to me? And when, you know, I hear a lot of stories, I've been doing this for over 40 years, talking with people and heard just about everything. You normally don't hear that the initial reaction coming out of something as overwhelming as this is that you never went to the place of questioning why this happened to you. And this is what makes it, what's important about that, is that this is what makes it the modern day Job story. So can you tell us a little bit about the first recollection you have? When, I want to say, you opened your eyes, I know you became conscious because you were blind. So tell us what happened the first day or so that you became conscious again from the accident.
Right. Now, let me explain. When I say I was blind, I could see light and dark. I could see general shapes. But for example, if I were talking to you, and I've seen your picture, so I know you're obviously a woman, I wouldn't know it, no matter how close you could have been 2 feet in front of me, and I wouldn't have known you were a woman until you actually spoke.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no, it was like looking through a milk carton, if that is a good enough analogy, or an opaque shower curtain or something, where you could see the shadows, you could see the lights, the darks, you could even determine colors, but not if they were very close in shade. It'd have to be like a drastic red or something like that. But
mm-hmm.
for all intents and purposes, there's no visual acuity there. And when I first woke up, All I hear Christmas music, and now the accident was in July. It was actually July 10th, 2007. And so when I hear Christmas music, I'm like, that's odd that they would play Christmas music in July. I had no concept that I'd been in a coma for so long. The only reason I started to get a clue of what was going on is because of the news footage that was, they just had the news on the television playing constantly, so I could tell by the news and what was going on in those events. And it was astonishing. The other thing is, especially coming, and I explained it to you in the pre-interview, I was physically extremely strong. So at the time, I was able to bench press 300 pounds easily. I could squat 500 pounds. For some people, that doesn't mean anything. That's a lot of weight. And at this point now, when I wake up from the coma, I'm so weak. I went from about 170, 165, 170 pounds to 95 pounds. I
Wow.
could literally not move the bed sheet. I was thinking in my mind, why would somebody be holding it down or have it pinned down? That's it. It felt that difficult to move a bed sheet, a simple bed sheet.
Wow.
And because I had a tracheotomy, I couldn't speak. I couldn't explain to people that I'm cold or that I'm in pain or that I need to be turned. The things we take for granted, Georgiana, I just
Yes.
cannot begin to stress. Being able to tell somebody you're hungry or you're thirsty or you're in pain, how easily we take that for granted, the ability to communicate.
Yes.
And you mentioned before about me never saying, oh, why me? It's more like, why not me? You think about people who have been born blind, born deaf. Helen Keller, for example, I mean, is just such a great inspirational person. And these things that happen in our lives that seem like the greatest weaknesses sometimes turn out to become our greatest strengths. And I've gone on to explain it to you about what's happened since then.
Oh,
But in the
yes, and
meantime,
yeah. We're going to get to all
you
of
have to
that.
deal
Yes.
with it.
Yeah, we're going to get to all of that, Peter. I can't believe I'm I just I, we've just gone past the first break time. So what
Oh,
we're
I'm
going to
sorry.
do. No, don't be sorry. Your story is so compelling. I mean, and it's so moving. What I love about the story is that, we live in this very sad culture right now. There's so much depression. There's so much anxiety going on. And your story brings in the matter of faith, the matter of trust, the matter of really finding God in our lives. So your story is absolutely important and essential. And I know you say it's not your story, but we're all used in different ways. We're all instruments and
Amen.
used in different ways, but it is your story. You felt the pain, you endured the agony, and you still believed. So it's a beautiful story. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back. Listeners, do not go anywhere. I mean, how could you move? I mean, this is like one of those stories that compels you to sit still and listen to every word. So we will be right back with Peter DeChat.
Are you tired of not feeling heard and not feeling valued? Are you longing to receive the love and respect you want? There is a solution right now. Transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills. Dr. Georgiana Donadio, relationship communication expert and number one national best-selling, award-winning author of Changing Behavior, explores the unconscious patterns contributing to stress, lack of fulfillment, and our relationship interactions. By learning and applying the simple principles of behavioral engagement, which has been clinically tested in leading hospitals, to develop mindful pure presence, you can experience the happiness and fulfillment you deserve in your relationships. Begin changing your behavior today with Living Above the Drama radio show host, Dr. Georgiana Donadio. Call 888-354-4325. 888-354-HEAL. Call now.
Become credentialed for the emerging medical health and wellness field. work within healthcare environments, or start your own private practice and bill for your services with your own NPI number. Train for this exciting specialty in patient-focused health and wellness education with the National Institute of Whole Health, NIWH, the only nationally accredited training program for patient health education and advocacy. Open to credentialed health and education professionals, our training qualifies for health educator liability insurance, a national provider identification number, and our expert-prepared billing and coding manual.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health, visit www.niwh.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL, 888-354-4325.
If someone said you could transform your life and enhance your relationships by using a few simple communication techniques that can be applied in almost any setting, would you want to learn these skills? If the answer is yes, you've picked up the right book. This easy-to-read guide is loaded with simple skills that have been scientifically shown to have a huge impact on our relationships. By using the steps in this book, you will be able to enhance not only your life, but the lives of everyone around you. If you have the intention to practice and apply these skills, it will become a natural part of who you are. A true must-read for anyone who wants to transform their professional and personal lives. Changing behavior. Immediately transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills by Georgiana Donadio.
You can purchase Changing Behavior by Dr. Georgiana Donadio by visiting Amazon.com, where it is available in both Kindle ebook and paperback.
Dr. Gass is on the advisory board of HealthCorp, a new program which was begun by Dr. Mehmet Oz.
65% are overweight and 35% are obese, and the sharpest rise in this country is between the age group of 4 to 8 years old.
Throughout his career, he has been inspired by patients who have experienced dramatic recoveries through lifestyle changes.
The National Institute of Whole Health is a perfect example of how people will learn to really take control of their lives in a healthy way. What they've done is they've collected basically the who's who of integrative health, and they've brought them together to give a series of lectures where they can then communicate with health professionals to basically deliver the message that we have to look at medicine from a different perspective.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health and their accredited professional continuing educational programs, go to www.wholepersonhealthcare.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL.
And I'm speaking with Peter DeChott, who is the author of Through the Fire, a true story of a 21st century Job. Peter's story is unlike something you probably won't hear too often. It's really compelling. Peter is sharing with us the details of what happened when a private plane crashed into his neighbor's home and subsequently wound up putting his house on fire. And he and his family experienced that whole nightmare. He lost his 4-year-old daughter, Gabriella. His stepson was severely burned, and Peter was burned over 96% of his body. Now, Peter, when we were talking at the pre-interview, there you were, in this hospital, all alone. You had lost your family. Your wife was gone. Your stepson was gone. Your daughter was killed. How did you start to anchor yourself back into this life again? You were in so much pain. You were enduring all kinds of procedures and treatments. What happened? I mean, when you finally realized, I'm here alone, I don't have my family, what happened? Were you surrounded by church people, your birth family? What happened to you that you were able to start to move a little bit forward into your consciousness?
I'm so glad you brought it up, because these times of great need, and this is certainly was a time of great need, those who really love you need to be there. And my parents, even though they were divorced, they worked out whatever differences they had to be there. They would be, 3 weeks would be my mother, then she would go back home as my father would come, 3 weeks with him. And they switched for pretty much the entire time I was in the hospital. And it is remarkable. My best friend in the world would come down and visit me in Florida. Another incredible man whom I started in business with really put his life on hold to make sure that my life was put back together. It is incredible what the people who really loved me, how much of themselves they gave. I mean, they really gave. And, you know, that I have to say, if you're going through something or you have somebody in your family going through something, the family love is the first line of Jesus's love. You know, if you're not receiving it from your family, then who are you receiving it from? And I'm telling you, I was so blessed. My mother specifically, I'm going to call her out. My mother was the best nurse of all the nurses that I had when I had no skin on my body. And you have to remember, I was burned over 96%. And the 4% remaining, well, that's where they were harvesting skin from to use for the skin grafts. So when you don't have the skin, they had to keep my room at 98 degrees. And because I had no skin as a protection from infection, my mother had to wear plastic, you know, gowns, caps, masks, gloves, the rubber gloves. She was covered head to toe in plastic, and she would sleep in that room at 98 degrees.
Wow.
I don't know how that makes you feel, but I start sweating just thinking about that.
Yes, of course.
And you can imagine, when I was leaving that hospital, they gave her an award.
Yes, I believe
it. It was duly earned.
Absolutely, positively. So your family and the love that was demonstrated to you was one of the things that really brought you forward, one of the things that really allowed you to know that you were not alone, that people cared, people wanted you in the world, and comforted you with your grief. You said, and I found this really poignant, part of the gift of the pain you were in so much pain, is that it, at least at that time, it helped kind of distract from the enormity of loss that you had been through, that had happened to you.
You nailed it. Yes.
And you want to talk about that, because, you know, so many of us, we experience pain and we don't like it. We complain about it. We say, why me? Why do I have to go through this? And, you know, my back hurts, my leg hurts, my head hurts, whatever, you know, my teeth, whatever it is, you know, and we bemoan that and we really don't like it. And here, you had a gift. You saw it as a gift. I thought that was a remarkable thing for you to say, that your pain became a gift to, and an antidote to some extent, to your immediate suffering of the loss that occurred.
It was the emotional loss, and it's so amazing, because when you look at me, you can see my physical scars. So you know that I was injured, I was burned. It's obvious as you look at my skin. The most painful thing that I had to endure was that scar you can't see, that the loss of my daughter, the sound of her cries, I still hear it. And I can't describe to you even the pain I felt physically, but the emotional pain I still know very well. And, you know, I think you said it. Just about anybody who's ever lost a child is such an unnatural state of affairs. It's not supposed to happen that way, that it's something that you feel that kind of unnatural pain. And I have to say that the distraction of the physical pain allowed me to endure that much more painful emotional pain.
Yes, and You know, it sounds strange. I mean, I've been in medicine. I've had dual careers for over 40 years in medicine and in media. And you come across, I've come across lots of people in severe pain with all kinds of circumstances. And pain is, it is a challenge, to say the least. And now we see how pain is turning people into addicts. You know, they have an injury and they're on the Oxycontin and they wind up becoming addicted. So we know that pain is serious business. And yet, in this case, and isn't this something, listeners, isn't this something? I think Peter's story is so remarkable because you can walk away from this interview and you can say to yourself, walk right back into your life and have a different perspective. Actually take a look at life from someone's eyes who has been through, I don't think it gets much worse. I mean, there are equally as devastating stories. People have their loved ones murdered and all kinds of things go on. But this is probably high on the list of painful experiences in life. So we can listen to what Peter is sharing with us and transform our own perspective of life. Now, we got to get to the nitty-gritty because here's where the rubber meets the road, Peter. We talked about what it is that you wanted to share with people. You said you're now ministering to people through telling your story, and you've done this at different parts of the world. You've actually traveled around and shared your story, and because of the sharing, it has helped people profoundly to be able to look at their own circumstances and to heal and to surrender to their experience of God and faith and love and compassion. So let's talk about those things that you shared. But first, I do want to say some good news. Let's get some good news in there, Peter, okay? You are now remarried and you have a 7-year-old daughter. And God is so good that you have been given this wonderful, like Job, you have kind of built yourself up from the ashes. And God's promise has been given. So why don't you tell us a bit about that, and then let's talk about the 10 or so things that you said you really wanted to share with people about your story.
I do want to touch briefly on the pain aspect, and I'm so glad you brought it up, because pain is ubiquitous. There isn't anyone who is over the age of 5 that doesn't understand what pain is. And it's not like, you know, loss and grief, you can't put it on a scale and weigh it and say, this is worse than that one. If someone lost their marriage, and that may be the most painful thing they've ever endured, that's everything to them. And I totally get it. If somebody loses an arm, I get it. That is a big deal. And so the one thing that I can assure you is pain does not endure forever. It will pass. And, you know, you spoke of my daughter. That's one of the great lessons I'm able to teach her at this young age and help her through it as she, you know, gets a bee sting in the middle of her forehead or whatever it is that she gets as a 7-year-old child on the farm gets. But, you know, it can only be permanent if you allow it to be permanent. So if this is something financial or it's a relational or it's emotional or it's even physical, that pain will pass. And you cannot let anything be the past if you're constantly living in, whether it's a loss of a loved one or the loss of your job or the loss of you fill in the blank. And too many people look for the easy way out. They self-medicate or they go on the drug addiction. Praise God you mentioned it, because it is one of the biggest silent killers going on in this country. Nobody really wants to talk about it because there's people in every walk of life that fall in. Nobody's immune from it. So thank you for covering that.
Of course. You had said life is 10% what happens and 90% how you deal with it. Now, we've heard that before, and it's real easy to go on Facebook and see these, you know, these kind of wonderful things like, you know, these famous quotes, and it's all in your attitude and life is what you make it and all of that. However, you're a man who's been through it, and you can share that 90% of your recovery is really how you dealt with this. So tell us specifically, what were you? Were you praying constantly? Were you talking to people? Were you, going inward? What was the process, the spiritual process that you went through to recover from this thing?
For me, it was to endure. It was enduring and counting through and being able to say, I know God's word is true. And I think I've mentioned it. They take your age. I was 36 at the time, and they add to it the percent you're burned, which was 96%. That's your chance to die. I had 132% chance of dying, and yet God saved me. Mm-hmm. He obviously had a purpose for saving me, and it was not just so I could sit back on the couch and eat bonbons. And so the knee-jerk reaction, and I think this is something that fits into the natural person who I am, is to encourage and to be able to share. And, the Bible says it this way: they've overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Who can refute the story of my life? Who can tell me, Pete, no, it's not true, you weren't burned? I mean, there's too much evidence showing it. And I can say, yet, I am here. And I didn't save myself. And even the doctors will not take credit for saving me. My mother called the doctor Dr. Death, because as brilliant a man as he was, he said every single day, just say goodbye to him, because he's not going to make it to tomorrow. His kidneys are going to fail. His heart's going to fail. He's going to just dehydrate. He's going to bleed out. There was every reason, and yet here I am.
Amazing, Peter. Absolutely, totally amazing what you went through and how you were able to still believe that God loved you, God was with you, and that you could anchor yourself into that. You tell the story. We have to take another break. This is going by so fast. We have to take another break, but you tell the story how just a couple of years before, you, an atheist, had actually been baptized as a Christian. And it was your physical strength and your spiritual strength that really brought you through this. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come right back. I just wish I had another whole hour to do this, Peter. Thank you so much for sharing. We'll be right back with Peter DeChat.
Dr. Gass is on the advisory board of HealthCorp, a new program which was begun by Dr. Mehmet Oz.
65% are overweight and 35% are obese, and the sharpest rise in this country is between the age group of 4 to 8 years old.
Throughout his career, he has been inspired by patients who have experienced dramatic recoveries through lifestyle changes.
The National Institute of Whole Health is a perfect example of how people will learn to really take control of their lives in a healthy way.
What they've done is they've collected basically the who's who of integrative health, and they've brought them together to give a series of lectures where they can then communicate with health professionals to basically deliver the message that we have to look at medicine from a different perspective.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health and their accredited professional continuing educational programs, go to www.wholepersonhealthcare.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL.
If someone said you could transform your life and enhance your relationships by using a few simple communication techniques that can be applied in almost any setting, would you want to learn these skills? If the answer is yes, you've picked up the right book. This easy-to-read guide is loaded with simple skills that have been scientifically shown to have a huge impact on our relationships. By using the steps in this book, you will be able to enhance not only your life, but the lives of everyone around you. If you have the intention to practice and apply these skills, it will become a natural part of who you are. A true must-read for anyone who wants to transform their professional and personal lives. Changing Behavior. Immediately transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills by Georgiana Donadio.
You can purchase Changing Behavior by Dr. Georgiana Donadio by visiting Amazon.com, where it is available in both Kindle ebook and paperback.
Are you tired of not feeling heard and not feeling valued? Are you longing to receive the love and respect you want? There is a solution right now. Transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills. Dr. Georgiana Donadio, relationship communication expert and number one national best-selling, award-winning author of Changing Behavior, explores the unconscious patterns contributing to stress, lack of fulfillment, and our relationship interactions. By learning and applying the simple principles of behavioral engagement, which has been clinically tested in leading hospitals, to develop mindful pure presence, you can experience the happiness and fulfillment you deserve in your relationships. Begin changing your behavior today with Living Above the Drama radio show host, Dr. Georgiana Donadio. Call 888-354-4325. 888-354-HEAL. Call now.
Become credentialed for the emerging medical health and wellness field. Work within healthcare environments or start your own private practice and bill for your services with your own NPI number. Train for this exciting specialty in patient-focused health and wellness education with the National Institute of Whole Health, NIWH, the only nationally accredited training program for patient health education and advocacy. Open to credentialed health and education professionals, our training qualifies for health educator liability insurance, a national provider identification number, and our expert-prepared billing and coding manual.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health, visit www.niwh.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL, 888-354-4325.
And we're back. Today I'm speaking with Peter Dechat, who is the author of Through the Fire, The True Story of a 21st Century Job. Peter is so gracious and kind to share the details, painful details, and challenging, you know, experience that he went through. And he's sharing with us, like, his physical strength that really helped him tremendously to survive what he went through, but his spiritual strength. And this today, I mean, I personally believe, Peter, that what's wrong in our world is that we've lost our way. I think that the survey that was taken is 90% of Americans believe in God, but we're lost. We're really lost spiritually. Yeah. We don't have a grounding, and it doesn't have to look or be a certain way, but to be grounded and to know God in the way that touches you and moves you is what's so exciting about your story. One of the second things you said is that gratitude. You took a gratitude attitude, which is quite unusual. You want to talk about that? How do you take a gratitude attitude when you're writhing in pain? You've lost your family. A doctor is telling your mother every day that you're going to die. How does that happen?
Well, okay, I'm going to use this scripture. It's Romans 8:28. For we know he will turn all things to good for those who love him and are called to his purpose. I told you I was blind. Now I'm going to tell you how I was blessed to be blind. And, you know, some of these things you don't learn until after the fact. So since I had nowhere to go, I stayed at my mother's house until I could get on my feet again. My best friend from childhood would drive an hour and a half to pick me up at my mother's house, to drive back that hour and a half and take me to church. And then in the evening, he would drive all the way up there to drop me off and come back home. He spent 6 hours every Sunday driving me around. It's at that church that I hear this woman's voice in a classroom, and I just knew I needed to meet her. I'm blind. I can't see more than 2 feet in front of my face. And this voice catches my attention. Now, being a blind man and someone who could barely walk in a church of 500-600 people, odds are not good I'm going to find her. But it turns out that her cousin was burned as a young child. And so after service, she had questions for me. Now, because I was blind, but I could see only enough to determine where the eyes should be on her head, that's where my focus was the entire time. Is where her eyes, she had no idea I was blind because of the way I looked at where her eyes should be.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, I had no idea what she looked like. And it turns out she's a beautiful woman. And so I didn't have the ability, because of my blindness, to look at her the way other men looked at her. She didn't put her guard up and kind of shoo me away. And it is for that reason I say I was blessed to be a blind man at that time, because now I have just an absolutely amazing and beautiful wife that otherwise I probably wouldn't have had.
Isn't that a story? I mean, you've got stories within the stories. And you shared with me in the pre-interview how that experience of her cousin and you mm-hmm. being burned brought you together and created your family and your beautiful new daughter. That is so wonderful. You also talked about life is purposeful. I'll read some of the things back to you that you said. Life is purposeful. Pain passes. And that your experience taught you that attitude and perspective is really what it's about, because God is good even when life is not. So,
I got a quote for you. Can I give you a quote?
Absolutely.
Everybody asks, this is the eternal question. What is the meaning of life? It is an incomplete question. The question should be asked, what is the meaning of your life? What are you on this earth to do? You know, most people understand the concept of legacy and inheritance and leaving something for subsequent generations, right? What are you leaving? Let's not talk about material things. How is this planet going to be different since you've been on it? And, you know, I think too many people get lost in the, oh, well, I can't go to India or to Pakistan or to Cuba, or you name any of the countries that I've been blessed to be able to go to. I understand that. But you can go across the street. You know, what about the people in the grocery store or the waitress? You know, I've got a real quick story. My dad is a very, I want to be generous and say, frugal man. So I'm staying with him, and he wanted to treat me to dinner. So he takes me to the VFW. Because they were having $2 dinners.
Good for your father. He was of that generation. They were frugal, and you know the irony? When they pass, they leave a great deal of money to their heirs, which is really ironic.
Well, let me tell you what happened is our total bill was $10. You know, the way it turned out, I said, Dad, leave the waitress a $10 tip. My dad's natural knee-jerk response was, are you crazy? That's 100% tip. I said, Dad, the $10 is going to mean nothing to you, but you watch and see what it does to this woman. Mm-hmm. So he hands her the $10 for her bill, the bill, and the $10 for the tip. And this young girl is so incredulous at the tip that she just like stammered for a minute before she could actually say thank you. And when she walked away, I said, Dad, wasn't that worth every penny? That little difference that he made in that woman's life. Yeah. And he was, you could hear the emotion in his voice when he was affirming how that touched him. It's the little things that we can do. $10 to most people is not going to make or break them, but to some people it will. And if you can do that and show that little act of love and kindness, that's how you leave a legacy and change a generation.
Right, Peter. And your legacy, we talked about this, for you, being able to share your story with as many people who want to hear it so that they can have, and in the introduction I said, to look at God through the heart and eyes of Peter DeChat. I mean, you know, we talk about standing in someone else's shoes. Hearing your story allows us to stand in your shoes. I cannot imagine. I don't think I could ever survive such an experience that you did. It's incredible. And so your legacy, your purpose in life has been to come to this place where you can share this with all of us. What would you say to someone? I know you've said pain passes and life is purposeful and your experience taught you lots of good things and God is good. What would you say to someone who is cynical, who is angry, who feels that they don't have their purpose yet in life, and they're kind of bumping around. Because you kind of, you had some times in your life where, you know, you weren't on the same track you're on now. I'm sure you've experienced some of the things most of us have experienced in our lives in that regard. What would you say coming out of this experience? How would you share with someone who is, not believing that they have a meaningful destiny and a way to serve other people?
I would say, I can't tell you what to think, what to believe, or why to believe it. I can only tell you what I think and what I believe. And in your life, how has it profited you to be cynical, to think that there is no better way, to have no hope? How has that profited you? What is the benefit? And me being Christian makes me better than no one other than the me I'd be without Jesus in my life. I am still a person who has plenty of shortcomings, and I am so thankful that Jesus came and he died for me. I'm nobody special. I can't stress that enough. God loves me no more or no less than he loves you or loves anybody who's listening to you. He created each one of us individual and unique and for a purpose. We are all the apple of his eye, and he looks at us the same way that we look at our children, the way I look at my little Rebecca, is she is the apple of my eye. In the same way, we are the apple of God's eye. Don't give up hope. There are too many, far too many things to live for. And I know that it's easy to be cynical and to live as a victim, but it's a choice. You can be the victim of circumstances, but living as a victim is a choice. Don't allow yourself to miss out. You know, when you look at the glass half empty, it's like being half alive, which is really half dead. You know,
right.
I'd rather be full of life.
Let's talk about the Job story for a second, because I think there's such a parallel here in the sense, not only the story itself, but the parallel that what, you know, the dude we call the devil, okay, we have light and we have dark. And it's really funny because, honestly, you know, I've come to believe that we need both of those things because they inform each other. That the darkness really brings out our light. The darkness certainly brought the light out in you, Peter. I mean, the destruction and the damage and the darkness of that terrible experience, look what it's brought out in you. So I believe that the devil who said, oh, no, he doesn't really love you. He is just faithful and good because you haven't beat the heck out of him, okay? Yeah. So the devil says, let me do it. Let me at it, okay? Let's punish this dude and let's see what he's going to do. And so for me, the Job story with you is that, like Job, I mean, Job was kind of, he had his moments, you know, where he said, what the heck is going on here?
He cursed the day he was born,
Exactly. And he was like, my Lord, you know, what is this all about? He was not exactly happy. So how did you, I mean, did you have any moments like Job where you, you know, the pain was too much or the surgery was too much or, you know, the whole process of the doctor saying, oh, say goodbye. Did anything get to you? And how did you retrieve God back into that scenario? Because, I mean, I don't know, but I think if Job is our example, you know, he had his own challenges through the fire.
Oh, and let me just tell you, the great thing about the Bible is I'm going to say it this way. The only one who didn't suffer through these are Jesus. Everybody else had shortcomings, and I'm no different, and neither was Job. And I remember one particular afternoon, and my best friend Tim was visiting me, and I chronicle this in the book. I'm sitting on the edge of my bed, and I start crying, and I said, Tim, I'm just tired. I'm sick and tired. I'm sick of the physical pain. I'm sick of the emotional crying of the loss of Gabby, and I'm sick of crying over my marriage dissolving. I'm just tired. And this great man of God, and he's a very large, muscular man. He just cried with me and put his arms around me and hugged me. He didn't try to say anything to fix it. He just hugged me. And what was really cool about this story is that there is a therapist who kind of walked in on that moment. And she brought somebody for me to meet. And it was a young woman whose boyfriend had poured gasoline on her and lit her on fire, trying to kill her. And she was burned so badly that they had to amputate both of her legs. Oh. And I saw this woman who was now back in the world and working. I was so encouraged because even though at this time, you know, the nerves were just waking up at my feet. So it felt like somebody was constantly taking pins and needles and stabbing him into the bottom of my feet. And I said, thank you, Lord, for this pain I have in my feet, because I still have my feet. They tell me I'll never walk again, but I know she will never walk again because she doesn't have legs. And, you know, the one thing I can tell people, thank God for your problems, because you could have somebody else's.
Absolutely. I had a friend who was a Holocaust survivor, Jack. Never forget him. And I used to say, Jack, how do you have such a positive attitude? And he says, let me tell you, you get into a big room with a big table and everybody puts their troubles on the table. He said, you'd grab yours back so fast it would make your eyes spin.
That is absolutely true.
That we are given what we can bear, and we're given what God really helps us to deal with. Peter, I have to tell you, I am sad that our time is up with you. You are a true inspiration. You are certainly living your purpose in this life, and we're very grateful that you are. Let's talk about your book. Let's talk about your website. People can get the book, which is Through the Fire. And by the way, if you do get the book, there are lots of photographs. You will see the severity of Peter's injuries. You will see the Holocaust of what he went through. Through the Fire, which is available everywhere, the true story of a 21st century Job. Do you want to add something to that, your contact information?
Yeah, if they go to throughthefire.net, I mean, like, they can get the Kindle version on Amazon and so on like that, but go to throughthefire.net. I put the first two chapters of the book on there for free because, you know, I want people to be able to start seeing this story. There are many videos out there on the YouTube channel, Pete the Shot YouTube channel, but throughthefire.net is the best place to go to get the book. And, you know, to me, it's not really about somebody. If I sold one book and it just got passed around to a million people, I'd be just as happy if a million books sold. Does that make sense? It's
Absolutely.
Not a matter of selling books to me. It's about God's story getting out and Him
Right.
being glorified for it.
Well, if anybody's really curious, there is tons of coverage on the internet. There's coverage on YouTube. A remarkable, remarkable story. Inspiring, uplifting. Peter, thank you so much for being with us today. And listeners, don't forget to come back again next week to have another incredible, inspiring, and educational story to help all of us live above the drama.
If someone said you could transform your life and enhance your relationships by using a few simple communication techniques that can be applied in almost any setting, would you want to learn these skills? If the answer is yes, you've picked up the right book. This easy-to-read guide is loaded with simple skills that have been scientifically shown to have a huge impact on our relationships. By using the steps in this book, you will be able to enhance not only your life, but the lives of everyone around you. If you have the intention to practice and apply these skills, it will become a natural part of who you are. A true must-read for anyone who wants to transform their professional and personal lives. Changing Behavior. Immediately transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills by Georgiana Donadio.
You can purchase Changing Behavior by Dr. Georgiana Donadio by visiting Amazon.com, where it is available in both Kindle ebook and paperback.